When you have helped me retake Sunrak, reclaim my empire, then you may revert. Then it is, Your Majesty this, and Your Majesty that. But not now. Not today.
Braelar replied,
As you command. What would you have us call you instead, my lord?
My lord, even that is spoiled fruit, but it will suffice.
Thamar looked at Sofchin again, and then back to Braelar.
That is why you are here, is it not? To help me seize what is rightfully mine. Re-seize, as it were. That was the message Darzac sent. Though it is curious why you are so negligent in arriving to get started.
Braelar paused briefly before replying.
My lord, the jackals have ever been your faithful men. We supported your bid to the throne, worked at your behest in Injuria while you were emperor, and continue to be your staunchest supporters today in helping you reclaim what is yours. That is precisely why we are here.
Thumar replied,
How very stalwart of you. And yet, years have come and gone since I was ousted, and what have you done for me, eh? I will tell you. Nothing. Nothing and less. In fact, I was beginning to suspect the jackals were tonguing Sinead's asshole with all the rest.
Crisinio said,
My lord, they came here at great risk, and have endured—
Thamar raised a long, single finger.
Do not speak to me of risk, general, or endurance.
He addressed the captain.
So why the delay arriving?
Braelar replied,
I'm sure Tower Commander Darzac included this in his report, but Sinead drove us from the city. He cut down a significant number of my men before we even cleared the gates. His troops hounded us as we rode hard to deliver ourselves to you, and attrition was no less kind. You can be sure if I ever see Sinead's asshole, I will drive a Soroka into it.
Thumar smiled, but it was a grim, thin thing.
Are you telling me you were unable to throw off a little pursuit or dispatch your foes? And this is what kept me waiting. You have served me well in the past, Captain, it is true. One of my finest operatives, in fact. I expected better.
Braelar glanced briefly at Crisinios, who said nothing and only gave a barely perceptible shake of his head, which Braelar ignored.
Commander Darzac sent us to you for two reasons, my lord. One, he did not want this.
He reached down and shook the flail heads at his hip. To remain in the puckered emperor's possession. And two, he believes there might be a way to reverse Sinead's control of the Myrmidons, to tether them to you. But if you have no use for either, please let us ride on our way, my lord.
As ever, I wished the captain had a modicum more sense of self-preservation.
But if Thumar took offense, he gave no sign.
Oh, yes, the Myrmidons. I did have some with me a few days ago. Several tried to slip away in the night, to return to Sunrak when they felt the bonds shift. I cannot say I blamed them. After all, what would I do in their place? Of course, I cut them down. Those I could catch, anyway. And yet...
He gave Sofchin a pointed look.
Unless I am mistaken, you have one in your employ just now. Curious. Most curious. Are you sure you are not licking the great leopard's ass, Captain?
Before Braelar could offer a reply, Sofchin said,
I am bound to Sinead. Bound. There is no choice in that. But I am aligned with my brother.
Thumar gave her a long look.
You would have me believe you risk husking out of familial loyalty, even while my own Myrmidons abandon me?
Sofchin didn't back down. She and her brother surely had that much in common, if little else.
Absolutely not. I do not even care for my brother. You can confirm this with anyone.
Plaguing true,
Muldoon said, slurring a little. Sofchin said,
I owe him no loyalty at all, and you only marginally more, truth be told. But Commander Darzac promised me my freedom if I assisted him and you, and I am exceptionally loyal to myself. So there it is.
Thumar nodded once.
Honesty at last. You and these jackals have done it then. discovered a way to undo Sinead's treachery?
There was an urgency there, underpinning the question that was impossible to miss.
Braelar said, "We believe so, my lord."
He pointed at me.
"My scribe here has been translating ancient Anjurian texts, and we believe we have uncovered a method to reverse what Sinead has accomplished, to bind the Memmerdons to you."
Thumar laughed. "Anjurians? What could they possibly teach us about Memmerdons, Captain? We are Sildoon."
Sofchian stepped into a shaft of light, motes dancing all around her.
"And the Sildoon are the most arrogant creatures to stalk the earth, my lord. They did not invent the methods or the binds. They simply adopted them and improved them on a scale unimagined."
That seemed to take Thumar off guard.
"You are truly suggesting Anjurians pioneered this, then?"
"Not suggesting, stating," she said. "Stating it as an unassailable fact. Sinead uncovered similar Anjurian texts and performed his own research. That is how he broke the binds each of the tower commanders had."
There was a stern set to the deposed emperor's jaw.
"So, what are you suggesting? That some Anjurian lords learned how to control Memmerdons and failed to utilize it?"
"Not precisely, no," she said.
Thumar's eyes narrowed, and she continued.
"Arki is the scribe, and I will let him explain it, as he is more familiar. Though, and forgive my impudence, stating will still be more accurate."
The gaunt man turned his hot stare on me. "What of it, then? I have no use for mummery or games, boy. What is this plaguing witch going on about?"
I cleared my throat, no less comfortable around this man than Sinead, and possibly less so.
"Sofjian speaks true, my lord. The Anjurians did explore binding before there was even a Sildoon Empire, but these experiments were conducted by rogue priests of the Temple of Truth, not kings or barons, and that is why the efforts were kept secret and stricken from most records."
"And yet you claim to have uncovered texts that prove this, that document it?"
I looked at Sofjian and Braelar, and Thumar took a step forward and grabbed my face in an unyielding hand.
"It is unwise to break eye contact with an emperor, boy, deposed or not. I asked you a direct question."
"I could show you, if you like,"
I said, though my scrunched-up mouth mangled the words a bit. When he released it, I continued, "The translations, that is." The deposed emperor looked at Braelar again.
"I would like to know your plan. Darzak's message was somewhat sketchy, but he claimed that a number of Memmerdons were husked or killed when Sinead broke the binds and stole them for himself. Even if these texts you found are accurate, serve as some kind of manual, how do you propose we reverse what that insidious bastard accomplished? We have only one Memmerdon, correct?"
When Braelar nodded, Thumar said,
"Even if we manage to infiltrate Sunrak and covertly speak to Sinead's new pets, I don't see a group of Memmerdons willingly sacrificing themselves to switch masters. Do you?"
Braelar smiled, free of twitching for once.
"No, my lord, I do not. But we have discovered another way."
Thumar said only,
"Have you?"
The captain waved a hand at Nastenzia.
"With her, we only need Sofjian to accomplish this, and she might not even get husked in the process. Which brings me endless relief and joy."
Thumar looked at the older woman, as if seeing her for the first time.
"And who are you, crone?"
Muldus laughed, and Braelar began to answer, but Nastenzia overrode both of them.
"I am one of the high foci, sworn to serve the Vrilinka Antonia Lilka, matriarch of Roxtiniac, guardian of the Vale, the great wielder, and I am here under duress."
"Aren't we all?"
Thumar said, and then asked Braelar,
"What is she babbling about? Is this some cult I'm unaware of?"
"Not precisely," the captain replied slowly. "But the answer is complex, and will require something of another history lesson, I'm afraid, though I will be brief."
I watched Krasinios close his eyes, shaking his head as Braelar began.
This is the reason we are as delayed as we are, my lord. The Imperials had us trapped against the Godvale, and my archivist here, through a mix of fine translation and deduction, discovered an unorthodox escape.
Which was?
To part the veil. Fimar didn't change his expression, except for the tiniest tremor that crossed his face and disappeared. He stared, unblinking, and waited several seconds before saying,
To part the veil, of course, and how was that possible?
Braelar slowly pulled Bloodsounder off his belt. That is another long narrative, but the short of it is, this is an artifact created just after the Godvale was created. It allows the wielder to pass through.
And to transport an entire company, no doubt.
Not all at once, my lord. A small group held off the Imperials as we made our escape piecemeal. He looked at Crescinios. Your kinsman, Lieutenant Hughspear, died sacrificing himself to buy us time. Crescinios lowered his head.
I am grieved to hear it. He was a good man.
None finer, General. None finer. Fumar was not overly concerned with grief or sacrifice.
You are claiming a sorceress flail allowed you passage through the veil.
The deposed emperor looked at his general, who remained impassive.
From history to lurid romances and fairy tales, this is what you have brought me.
Before Crescinius could say anything, Braelar replied, If I had crossed by myself, without witnesses, that would be a claim, my lord. As it is, an entire company accompanied me, well over 100 men. You are welcome to interrogate any of them. I can assure you, they will corroborate in full. Muldew said,
I'm begging your pardon, my lord, but you paint Cap here a plaguing liar. You best get a bigger brush, because we all went over, sure as spit. Every man of us.
As Morgan and Vendura both said aye in unison, and for once, every jackal was in agreement about something. But Thumar didn't seem especially mollified or convinced.
Well over 100, you say? And where are the rest then? Hiding in the hills?
No, the captain replied. He paused, no doubt considering how to dress up the next part, but shockingly went with the truth instead.
We were captured on the other side.
Thumar still sounded unbelieving, but like a skeptic who secretly longs to be proven wrong. His next question had less bite than I expected.
Captured, is it? By whom?
Braelar took a deep breath and exhaled loudly at length out his nostrils, before saying,
The matriarch Nestensia spoke of, my lord. So, you crossed over the Godvale using an ancient artifact, only to discover that we are not alone in the world after all. Perhaps you can see why I am tempted to send a missive informing Darzac that his operatives have gone stark raving mad with some mind plague and had to be hung as we feared infection.
Sofjin said, While I can appreciate you being incredulous, again, every soldier in this company will swear to the veracity. No one is lying.
Or you all are lying, Thumar replied. Either way, madmen or charlatans, there aren't enough trees to hang you, so we will simply have to shoot you.
Crescinio said,
My lord, please.
Thumar looked at the captain again.
Very well. So there are presumably some humans on the other side? One of them a pretentious ruler who styles herself the matriarch? Is that right?
Nestensia blurted. No, she is no human. She said this with the usual strange derision, as if being a focus and close to the deserters had somehow elevated her above the rest of humanity. Braelar closed his eyes, Muldus shook his head, and as Morgan said,
Shut your yappy hole, bitch.
But instead, she glared at Ismorgon and replied, Vrilinka is not a human, as you well know. She addressed the deposed emperor again. The matriarch is what you foolishly refer to as a deserter. Thumar's expression didn't change, but his voice was rough and low as he said,
The gods.
Cold skepticism was replaced by hot yearning.
No, Nestensia said.
an elder race, and giant, powerful. But no, they are not gods. Braelar surely felt that he was in a precarious position, just as Krasinios warned.
We did encounter the race that spawned all the deserter visages and statues on this side of the veil, but while they are as Nestensia described, and exceptionally dangerous besides, she is correct. These beings are giants, but not gods.
Thumar's next question was barely above a whisper, and his eyes had a feverish cast to them.
Oh? And you know this how?
Muldus spat sideways into the moldy straw.
We killed quite a few of the massive horse cunts, though they killed a lot more of us, and without a whole lot of trouble. But they do bleed, they do die, and they ain't plaguing gods, whatever else they are.
Thumar took a few steps back, out of the sunlight, back into shadow, as Krasinios said.
My lord, the only thing that matters is they discovered a way to bind the Myrmidons to you, to help you reclaim your throne, that and nothing else, so...
I thought you might be charlatans, or madmen, Thumar said. But I was wrong. That is too generous.
You are heretics.
He spat the last word, as if it were an ember on his tongue he couldn't get rid of fast enough. Braelar and his officers looked at each other, and Vinduro made the mistake of saying,
Your Majesty, it's nothing but the truth, what Cap said, and your general there too. We can—
Silence!
Thumar all but roared, stepping forward into the sunlight again. Krasinios tried again.
They are our allies, my lord, the only ones who can help us counter Sinead. They—
Thumar pivoted and shouted at his general.
Would you be branded heretic as well, general?
The general shut his mouth. The captain did not.
Are there gods beyond the veil? I do not presume to say. There very well could be. But what I tell you with certainty is that the beings that inspired the images are fearsome, monstrous even, but not godly. But your astute general here is right. What is critically important right now is not a question of theology, but how can you usurp the usurper? That is why we lost most of our company and incurred the wrath of the sitting emperor. That is why we endangered our tower, risked our lives, and abandoned Sunrak. We can only return if we do so returning you to the throne room. That is the only thing that has any import or meaning, my lord.
Krasinios nodded several times.
The captain is right, my lord. Let them assist you. This is what you have longed for, an opportunity to retrieve what was taken from you. A chance.
And am I to forgive heresy, then?
Thumar said, eyes filled with something dangerous.
Dismissal of the gods? That is the only crime worse than betraying your sovereign, isn't it? Is either forgivable? If I reclaim my throne with the help of liars and heretics, I have doomed myself further. Better to be in exile until I turn to dust than achieve my goals with the assistance of unbelievers.
Braelar said,
My lord, no man here dishonors or denounces the gods, old or new. In fact, it's entirely possible they guided us, allowed us to pass through the veil to discover the means to reinstating you to your rightful place. We might very well be their instruments, the tools provided to you just for such a purpose.
Thumar was shaking, though with fervor, fury, or something else, I couldn't venture to say. He regarded the jackals again, eyes moving as slowly as they had when we first entered.
You denounce the gods with one breath, and try to align yourself with them in the next. So is it charlatan, or heretic, then?
Braelar replied,
Neither, my lord. I clearly do not know the minds of the gods, so it would be nothing short of blind hubris to claim they supported me.
He held up a flail head.
I only say that the creatures who inspired this and images like it are not deities. That is all. We explored only briefly beyond the god veil. Gods could exist, but these giants were the ones we knew in ages gone by, who left, who created the veil. They are not gods. Beyond that, it is speculation.
What I do know for certain is that this far too talkative woman has the ability to assist those wielding memory magic, to amplify what they can do. She can help Sofjian break the ties and bind them to you. That is what I know, and that is all that is important.
Thumar considered that for a few moments, with his heavy breathing the only sound in the barn as he slowly paced.
"Perhaps you are right," he said. "Perhaps you are unwitting tools. The old gods, the ones we failed, who denounced us, they are still out there, and they will return. Once I return, they return. I am to help pave the way. I have seen it. Perhaps these giants, perhaps they are priests to the gods."
Nastenzia started to say something, and Braylar grabbed her upper arm and squeezed hard. Thumar stirred up more dust.
"Perhaps they serve them. I do not know either. But if I hear one word about the gods not being beyond the god veil, I will execute that heretic myself."
He abruptly stopped and said,
2 days. We meet here again in 2 days' time, Captain. You will finish whatever research you must needs finish, and you will present a plan to me at that time."
"A plan, my lord?" Braylar asked flatly.
"Aye. You will provide a detailed plan about how precisely you intend to siphon control to me, undo what Sinead has wrought. Then I will hear more and decide what to do with you."
He pursed his lips, clenched his fists, released them again.
2 days, that is all. Understood?
Braylar nodded slowly.
Understood, my lord.
Good. Get started, then.
Thumar started to turn around when Braylar asked,
If I may, my lord?
The deposed emperor spun back to the captain.
What is it, captain?
We will present a plan, as commanded. A thorough, vetted, and strategic plan for leashing the Memmerdons to you. But I feel I must ask one thing. How is it you intend to utilize them and seize the advantage completely? Sinead still has a large contingent of Sildoon inside Sunrak that are pledged to him. Even if, when, we reverse his control over the Mems, they will only be cut down in the streets the moment he realizes he has lost them. And while that would be detrimental to him, my lord, it would hardly assure you control of the capital or its soldiers.
Thumar stepped forward, his shoulders tensed, the cords in his neck standing out, nostrils flaring. But his voice was at odds, his words crisp and controlled, but still oddly quiet, almost a harsh whisper.
"Do you take me for a fool, Captain Kilcoyne?"
"No, my lord, certainly not. I only want to ensure that our own plan dovetails with yours as neatly as possible. But to do that, it would be beneficial to—"
"Because only a man taking me for a fool might ask such a question. That, or simply one forgetting his place. There are only two options, and neither casts you in a good light."
His stubbly jaw rolled around, and his lips moved once as if to shape words, stopped, and then he went ahead and added,
"We have other allies arriving in 2 days' time. Substantial allies. Some on the eastern shores of the Bonewash, others by land. I am not a fool, and I do not expect you to somehow win my empire back for me yourself. You only play a part. So make no mistake, an army will be at my disposal. Now, is there anything else you need explained just now, or would you like to get started on what I hold you responsible for?"
Braylar replied, "Everything is midday bright, my lord."
Thumar turned on his heel and strode back into the crumbling barn, through bars of shadow and sun. The captain led us back out of the building, to the horses. Vinduro swung his leg over the saddle, looked over his shoulder to make sure none of the eagles were close, and said,
"Plague me! What the hell's just happened in there?"
Braylar said, "That is a most excellent question, to be debated at a later time."
Sofjian dropped her rancor on her shoulder and said,
"Brother, I will give credit where it's due.
While you should have listened to Krasinios and not mentioned the Godvale and what lies beyond, nearly got us killed by ignoring him, in fact. That last bit of dancing was deftly done. I do believe our deposed emperor might very well have fitted our necks for real nooses otherwise. So, a wash, really. But we are still alive, and that is all that matters.
Braelar said, Many thanks for putting things in perspective, sister. And you indulge me with such lavish praise.
He rode up the winding, weedy trail to the mean village, and what passed for a road running through it, and his Sildoon fell in behind him.
Chapter 31 We made camp a few miles away from Brasskilt and its red dust and mottled plants, and no one seemed inclined to say anything else just then, though Nastenzia had tried, only to have Sofjin order her to be silent. As had been the case since crossing back over the Vale, Braelar didn't allow any fires. I would have liked a fire. The nights were cold, hot food tasted better, and if the deserters did cross and track us, the Sildoon would have a meager chance of defending themselves if they could at least see their towering foes. But Braelar was more concerned about Imperial eyes that might still be scouring the land. I spoke quietly to the captain, mentioning that I hadn't caught a phantom whiff of Skilana's scent. He bluntly reminded me that she might not be among an Imperial force that happened to be riding nearby, and decided to investigate a small company huddled around fires, and also ordered me to stop mooning over a Memrodon, or he would tie me to a twisted tree and leave me for Skilana to find someday. That was the end of that conversation. So with purple tendrils of clouds slowly undulating against the darkening dusk sky, Braelar and his officers sat around their non-existent fire. Rudgie took Nastenzia off and tied her to something, likely a twisted tree, before returning to our circle. As Morgan shifted, turned, and shifted some more, like a hound unable to find the right spot to lie down in, though at least he didn't spin in circles. Then he shook his head, big beard swaying.
I'll say it if nobody else plaguing will. Need saying. That ain't the Emperor I plaguing remember.
Muldus laughed.
You and him real cozy, were you?
Shut your slobbery mouth, mushrooms. Just saying is he's changed. The Maw has.
Even Muldus couldn't argue with that sentiment, shaking his head.
Got more fervor than a plaguing priest, that's for sure. Never figured him for a zealous bastard. But exile does queer things to a man.
As Morgan nodded,
Exile burns something plaguing out of him.
Vindiro said,
Might be, though. Something else grew in its place.
As Morgan rumbled,
What are you plaguing talking about, squirrel?
Just saying is all that, yeah, the man's different, no question. Maybe got something burnt out of him. But just because something turns to ash don't mean something different can't grow in its place. And different don't always mean bad.
As Morgan was hunched over, looking like a huge mound.
I say again, you squirrely little bastard. What the plaguing hells?
Vindiro replied.
Well, when I was a wee lad, there was a hermit lived on the outskirts of the village. Walked like a crab, talked to himself or spirits or the gods. Eating bark or berries or whatnot. He'd show up in the village once or twice a year, during a wedding or funeral, or on account of some hermity timetable no one else could make sense of, and he'd scream some pronouncement or other no one could fathom. Then he'd disappear back into the brush, elders shaking their heads at the poor bastard, children mocking him.
Ought to have put the poor bastard out of his misery,
as Morgan said. Muldus shifted, moving his scabbarded falchion to try to reposition his weight on that hip.
So you're saying Thumar's our plaguing mad hermit? That's who we're following? Real plaguing comfort, that is.
Nope, Vindiro replied. Saying no such thing. Wasn't done. What I'm saying is, one year he stopped coming. The loopy hermit, not Thumar. No one thought much of it for the first season or three. But after that, folks started speculating if maybe that poor devil went and died out there. Fever, poison, eaten by a bear, whatever. He wasn't what you would call a real contributing member of the tribe, so no one was in a huge rush to go find out what. But come spring, me and my brother went out through the miles of woods to investigate. The hermit was gone. No body, no footprints, no sign. But his little hut was mostly ash and blackened thatch. We poked through it, hoping to find his bones, you know, like kids do. But there was no sign of the man. But after pulling a panel of wood out of the debris, I saw something amazing.
Vindoro paused, as if braced for the next mocking interruption. But when none came, he finished.
In the middle there, somehow growing in the ash, was the most beautiful flower I ever laid eyes on, and like nothing else I'd ever seen. Weird, almost square-shaped leaves, reddish-coiled petals with flecks of gold everywhere, like the shavings from a fine illumination or something.
As Morgan laughed and said,
"So you're saying we ought to let Thumar burn herself out so we can pluck ourselves a right pretty flower?"
Braelar cut off Enduro as he started to respond.
"Thumar is not a hermit or speckled wild flower or anything but what he is. The deposed emperor we have pledged ourselves to bring back to the throne. It does not matter what has been burnt out, or what, if anything, has grown in its place."
Sofjin replied, "I swore to assist you, and that is what I will do. I have no alternative at this point," she said, clearly hating the admission as it passed her lips. "But I must point out, your commander gave you these orders without having seen the deposed ruler these last few years. Do you imagine he would hold you to it if he were here now, had he witnessed Thumar's zealotry?"
Muldu said, Aye, yep. We got our orders. Won't be the first time soldiers carried out orders that didn't make any plaguing sense. But, Cap, your witch sister here might have the right of it. I'm guessing Commander Darzak might be rethinking his strategy a bit if he saw the old wolf in that rotten barn. More suspicious than a sick cat, threatening the only bastards who might be able to help him, on account of him suddenly getting serious about worshipping gods that ain't gods at all.
Braelar was staring at the flail heads in his palm, gently rolling them back and forth, listening to the spikes clink together.
"He is not the only man to still secretly worship the old gods, the ones who allegedly deserted us, believing that if we could only prove worthy enough, perhaps they will one day return."
"But," Muldu said, "and this is kind of an important plaguing point, those gods ain't real. We know that. Seen it with our eyes. Have the scars to prove it."
"The deserters are not gods," Braelar replied. "Whatever else they may be, it is true. We know that. And we will need to be especially careful who we profess that to. Not everyone is going to want to learn that everything we have ever believed was erected on a foundation of sand and silt."
"It's more than that," I said, before realizing I'd actually spoken the words aloud as everyone looked at me. "For Thumar, I mean. Whatever gods Thumar prayed to before have turned a deaf ear. He has been cast out, lost everything."
"Still has swords and gold," as Morgan said.
I shook my head, "which do him no good, as Sinead has more, and now the mightiest power in the Empire at his fingertips. Thumar has no power, no legitimacy, and, until recently, no hope of achieving it. He has schemed and wasted away, with something burnt out, as you say. Flames fanned by desperation and fury at the injustice of it all. So to him, the deserters probably aren't deserters at all, but exiles. Exiles who simply required the right opportunity to return to their rightful home and assume their sovereignty of all things."
"And when Darzak sent his message," Vindoro said, "and we arrived?"
"When we arrived, it was as if his prayers were being rewarded. The gods beyond the veil had heard him and delivered us into his hands. That was until you tried telling him they weren't gods at all,"
Muldu said.
"So what? We follow the man even if he's loonier than a plaguing flower, hermit?"
Braelar let the deserter heads fall to his side.
"We follow our orders,
Commander Darzak is not here to countermand them, and without Memmerdons or a rookery, we have no way to communicate with him. So our only choice is to follow the orders we do have. As Morgan sat up and threw a large stone into the brush.
Don't like it, Cap. Not one bit. Don't like it.
What's that, Lieutenant? Following orders? Because if that is the case...
Darzak ordered us to do this, sure enough. But he also promoted every plaguing one of you. Well, excepting Squirrel here, Cap here done that, because you got grit and initiative. Maybe, when we head back into Sunrak, we break the witch bind Sinead got. Only instead of rebinding them to this man, maybe we seize it for ourselves. How about that?
Venduro corrected him.
Our tower, you mean?
The large man said.
Oh, yep, of course. The Jackals. Commander Darzak.
Braylar's dark eyes were slits, and his hand was still on Bloodsounder. There is a keen distinction between initiative and treason. He said this quietly, without heat or inflection. But there was no mistaking that something slithered in the hidden depths. Sofjian chuckled.
Says the man who ignored an imperial mandate when it was convenient to do so, who nearly convinced Sini to enact the fifth man, who betrayed his own flesh and blood.
The serpent broke the surface briefly, as Braylar rasped.
For Tower. All we do is for Tower, sweet sister. Something you could not possibly begin to understand.
As Morgan slapped a massive thigh.
Exactly what I'm saying. We do it for Jackals, seize the Memmerdons, the throne, for ourselves.
Muldus gave him a hard look that one slightly droopy eye didn't undermine.
Forgetting one real big thing there, Ogre. Darzak was the one who ordered us to assist Thumar. Commander Darzak.
Venduro added,
forgetting something else, too. If the Jackals could have seized the throne for themselves, would have done it years ago instead of pledging fealty to Thumar. We don't got the men to hold it, even if we grabbed it, which we ain't, as it violates a direct order.
As Morgan jerked a thick thumb at Sofjian.
Things change. That was before there was a way to leash all of them in one hand. Things change.
Braylar stood up slowly, and the serpent was gliding along the surface now, sinewy, dangerous, very much a threat.
Just now we need to discuss how we intend to sneak into the greatest fortified city in the known world, bypass thousands of Imperials and a multitude of Memmerdons without being captured or killed, and put my sister in place to rebind them to Thumar. As ordered. If in the middle of our daring and likely suicidal raid, you happen to bump into Darzak and mention that perhaps the mantle should be his instead, by all means, do let me know. Until such time, we will follow the orders we have in front of us. I do hope that is unambiguous enough for you all.
He looked around at his assembled officers and his sister, clearly no longer in the mood to tolerate any more rebuttals, but giving anyone a fair chance to earn his wrath. When no one offered any, he said,
very good. I wish we had ale or wine, a great quantity of ale and wine, but we will simply have to plan while dining on dried meat and brackish water. So, let me hear some suggestions. As Morgan adroitly pointed out, you occupy your current positions because you are cunning and clever. Let us be cunning and clever together, yes?
There was some silence as each of them considered the problem.
Venduro went first. Maybe we could slip a few of us through the gates, disguised like, reassemble in the city proper, make our way to the citadel.
Sofjian wasted no time striking that down. Maybe any other time, but they will be looking for me, tuned to me. Sinead takes risks, but calculated risks. He is not wildly impulsive, and not prone to letting his guard down. We cannot simply walk through the gates, no. As Morgan said,
can't go knocking the gates down and fighting our way through. Dead within 10 steps.
Or dropping into the trench like our brothers,
Muldus replied. I shivered as I remembered the jackals falling to their deaths in the great yawning chasm that encircled the entire fortified city of Sunrak as the Imperials ordered the bridges pulled out from under their feet. As Morgan stroked his thick beard, the way some men gave an animal affection.
So what then? Can't sneak in through the gates, can't fight through them, and no matter what army Thumar has, won't be enough to storm the city. Kind of plaguing stuck good, ain't we?
Muldoon said. Hate to agree with the big bastard, but we covered this already. Pretty horse shit proposition we got here, Cap. Can't take Sunrak, just ain't happening. You said it yourself. If we were laying siege to the place, the only chance, and it would be slimmer than a Soroka, is maybe a coordinated attack on the water supply from inside. Plaguers who built that place made it near impossible to take.
Braelar had his elbows on his knees, hands steepled together in front of his face. But when he heard water, he unfolded them, sat up straighter, and looked at me.
You are absolutely right. But then again, we are not attempting to take the city. We merely need to get a small party inside, yes? And I now recall one such suggestion that could work.
Everyone looked around, having heard no suggestions that could work. But then I smiled, thinking back on the discussion Muldoon and Hughspear had as I entered Sunrak for the first time with the company, crossing one of the great bridges spanning the trench. Muldoon hit on it just now. With the water, the aqueduct, it carries water down from the hills, right over the walls and into the city. We could sneak in through the aqueduct.
Muldoon said. And as I recall, I shot that idea full of holes, because even if we survive the aqueducts and kill the guards, which is plaguing tougher than it sounds, still have to kill a bunch more in the gatehouses, lower the bridges, and hold them against that big Imperial army inside the city, plus a few hundred witches as well. Ain't happening.
I replied, that's not happening, no, but as the captain said, our objective is to get inside, not invade, correct? We'd only have to take out the guards by the aqueduct itself and make our way through the city. Sofjian gave me an appreciative smile that still unnerved me a bit, as if she were perusing weapons and found the one she was looking for. That could work. Muldoon shook his head.
And what about our holy liege out there? The objective isn't just to creep into the city somehow, and I still say we'd be more likely to fall and go splat than make it across the trench alive, you whore sons. But let's say that works. We still got to get Thumar's army into the city somehow.
Vindero asked, why?
What do you plaguing mean, why? Even if we rebind the witches to him, he's still going to have to take the plaguing city to oust Zaneed.
Vindero replied, what I mean to say is, we got to get him close enough for the rebind to work, right? In the city with us, or just outside, maybe. But he doesn't have to get his army in just then. Doesn't have to take it at the same time.
Muldoon glowered, still effective with one lousy eye.
What the plaguing hells are you talking about?
Braelar said,
let's hear him out, Muldoon.
Muldoon looked at the captain as if he was daft too, and then back to Vindoro.
Yeah, sure. Love to hear how we're going to take this city without taking the city. Go on, then.
Vindoro said,
our job is to get inside, get to the frame, and reverse what Zaneed done, right? Be real helpful if there was some kind of distraction, though, wouldn't it? Because just getting into the city is going to be plaguing tough enough, but breaking into Zaneed's lair, well, that would be all kinds of impossible. Unless there's something big that's got his attention. Like an army marching towards the gates.
An army, Muldoon said flatly. Outside the gates. Okay, then. This must be where it gets good.
Vindoro replied.
Let's say Thumar arrives at the gates, camps outside, just outside of range of trebuchets and Memrodons. Maybe even just gets sighted marching towards the city, assembled nearby even. That'll get Zaneed's attention, won't it? He'll figure Thumar has cracked and is making one final big move to take him on.
Smiling, Rudgy jumped in.
Only now, Zaneed's got more power than ever. He's an arrogant prick. He probably won't just sit behind his walls and wait it out, will he?
Nope, Vindoro said.
Even though that would be the plaguing smart play, he'll want to wipe his enemy out, parade out a show of force. It's a chance to try out his shiny new toys, show the world what all those memory witches can do under one hand.
Sofjian nodded once. I think they're both right. Sinead won't be able to resist the opportunity, even if his generals and captains urge prudence. Vinduro said.
But while he's deliberating, arguing with his council and whatnot, all his attention on Thumar, trying to figure out the best way to smash him, we're making our way right to the frame, getting in position.
As Morgan stopped stroking his pelt beard.
Then what?
Brayla replied, lips just barely curving into a smile.
Then we wait for Sinead to march his Myrmidons out of the Citadel, at the very least as a show of force, but more likely to take out his threat, eliminate Thumar once and for all, with the greatest audience possible.
He gave an appreciative nod to Vinduro.
It has promise, I'll grant you.
Promise?
Muldus asked. You think Thumar is going to risk his whole army on plaguing potential?
Yes, Braelar said, as he gave in to a proper smile. Yes, I do. You see, he has the smaller force. No matter who he has bought or won over, they cannot possibly exceed what Sinead has. And with the Myrmidons in Sinead's hand? No, Thumar recognizes that we might utterly fail inside the city and risk being wiped out for good. But he is hungry, starving even, and he was never cautious, even when he was emperor. He will venture anything and everything on this. I couldn't help saying, but what if Sinead's advisors convince him to hold, wait out Thumar, rather than risking huge losses simply to drive him from the field? Even with his Myrmidons and a larger army, he certainly isn't invincible.
Braelar said, a less arrogant man would recognize that, but Sinead is lesser in no things, arrogance chief among them. So he will see this as a glorious opportunity to demonstrate his superiority. What's more, Thumar's forces will have been bloodied already as he dispatches smaller battalions on his way to the capital. And Sinead knows he'll appear fraudulent and weak if he does not utterly destroy his foe. But, as ever, we will prepare for all contingencies. Cunning and clever, yes?
And so he talked as the color fled the sky and the stars winked on, arguing over a dozen strategies for getting us into the Citadel, discussing the merits and failure points of each. I spent most of the next 2 days hunched over my writing case, going through the remainder of the texts I had left, scribbling and translating, ink-stained fingers moving as quickly as I could manage, as I hoped to stumble across any scrap of information that would confirm what I had already pieced together. Braelar and his officers considered and discarded a dozen various plans, and I caught snippets here and there. But the captain made sure I understood that my priority was to make it through the final pages if possible. What we had already might be enough. Probably was even. But it was also a tremendous gamble. No matter what they came up with as a final plan to infiltrate, it was going to be exceptionally dangerous. But doubly so if we risked it all on one account, with no corroboration. So I read and wrote, the pain in my head flaring back up like embers you assumed had gone out, but only needed the right breeze to produce flame and heat again. But still, there was nothing. Endless writs, larder accounts, cartularies, transactions, tariffs, and every mundane thing one person could use ink to record for posterity, despite the fact that no one would ever want to read them again, most especially me. Vinduro came over as I slipped a ribbon over another scroll I finished with and stared at the small pile of pages left. I knew the question was coming before he opened his mouth.
No luck?
No luck, I said, trying to keep the frustration at bay, though I must have failed.
You can only do what you can do. It's in there. And if not?
If not, a great many men and women might go to their deaths, because they had inaccurate or incomplete information. I'd seen Sofjian huddled together with Nastenzia on a number of occasions, discussing, arguing, questioning, no doubt preparing to go forward with what I had provided in the event that nothing else showed up in the pages, which seemed likely. Vinduro handed me a flask, and I put it to my lips, taking a huge swallow, as it suddenly struck me just how thirsty I was, and the dark wine caused me to choke.
What? I thought...
I sputtered and wiped my chin.
We needed some provisions. Roger led a party out to get some. Wine might not be a necessity, but... Oh, who are we kidding? Of course a plaguing is.
He took the flask back for another few swallows, and then handed it back to me. I said, I probably don't want to know, do I? Vindura watched me drink more competently this time.
Can't say for certain what you do or don't want, but, yeah, I'm thinking you don't. Wine doesn't grow on a bush, does it?
Well, a canteen or bottle of it anyway.
Grapes do. Grow, I mean.
He reached for the flask.
Easy there. Ink stains Cap can handle, but you hand him a bunch of translations with wine stains, thinking it might not go well for you.
No one else bothered me for the rest of the day, which gave me the time I needed to finish. Though I wished I hadn't. There wasn't anything else about Bloodsounder, rogue priests, early efforts to control witches, or any topic of interest. I put my quill down, fingers cramping, back sore, shaking a little, unsure when I last stopped to eat something. But it was for naught. Expected. But that did nothing to lessen the disappointment. And there was something else. It wasn't just a failure to discover what we wanted that left me feeling empty. It was completing the job. Perhaps the captain still wanted me around to record the Jackal's exploits, or serve as a translator in some other capacity. But I couldn't escape the sensation that I'd finished what I'd been assigned to do. This had always left me feeling a bit melancholy before, when my assignment came to a close. But this time, it was a heavier thing, dangling around my neck, pressing into my chest and stomach. I briefly wondered if finishing the translation meant I'd not only concluded my task, but outlived my usefulness. Certainly I'd done enough since riding with the Jackals to prove my worth. Certainly. I wished Vindura had left the appropriated wine. I could have used some more. Still, I wasn't entirely finished. I found the manuscript that had all the details the priest had compiled about binding and decided to revisit it, to be sure I hadn't missed anything. The thought that Jackals could die due to my lapse or error made my guts twist. I'd uncovered nothing new, but at least I could be absolutely certain I hadn't misinterpreted the references I already found. Chapter 32. After closing the latch on my case and throwing it over my shoulder, I went searching for the captain. He was off by himself in a gulch in the ruins of a river, the water having disappeared ages ago. Braelar was holding Bloodsounder, but at least not whirling it above his head. He heard me approach, turned around, and, before I'd said a word, read my face.
You discovered nothing new.
I only shook my head, bracing for the worst, wondering if I knew what that was. Instead, after a brief sigh, he clapped me on the shoulder.
You have done good work, Arky. What we have will be enough then.
He started to turn when I blurted, Do you believe that, truly? Braelar looked at me.
All that matters is that my sister and Estensia believe it. And Thamar, of course.
And do you have a solid plan then? For getting them into the Citadel? Getting Thumar close enough to shift the binds to him. Provided it works, of course. He opened his mouth, and I hastily said, Which it will. Braelar gave me a level, unreadable look.
Your overflowing optimism is wasteful. You should conserve some, lest this incredibly dry ground simply drink it up. But to answer your question, much will depend on the tight-lipped deposed emperor of ours and what he brings to the event. But yes, I believe we have arrived at as good a plan as any, all things considered.
He gave me a look that I interpreted as a dismissal, which I ignored. May I ask you something, Captain? Braelar looked over at me, surprised I hadn't left already.
Judging from your tone, no doubt something of import that will make me question my judgment in allowing you to remain in this company. After considering if there were a delicate way to begin, I chose directness instead. You told me about the failed attempt to kill your father's murderer, but not about what ultimately happened to him. Braylar stared off at some scrubby grass rimming the entrance of the gulch. That was not a question, but I will respond as if it were. If life was a romance of old, I would have had a second opportunity once I achieved manhood, a rare double chance to right the wrong, redeem myself, and kill the man once and for all in an epic duel, yes? But that isn't what happened, is it? He gave one short laugh. Ha! Of course not, Arky. The bastard was killed by an Injurian near the border during a skirmish many years later. And that didn't bring Sofjian some measure of joy, at least? The captain slipped Bloodsounder back on his belt. It might have, but she never forgave me for failing to stick him a second time with a blade, as I had promised so many years before. I thought back to what Sofjian had said before, alluded to, really, about other broken promises. I was reluctant to bring that up, but I wasn't sure if we would ever have another opportunity. Your sister mentioned something else, in the Plague Village, about not only failing to avenge your father, but something to do with your people as a whole. Braylar didn't reply right away, and took so long I was sure he didn't intend to at all. But then he finally said, "Our rift started after our father's murder, but that was only the start. After we were captured, during that 10 year before my manumission, hostilities had increased dramatically between my people and the Empire." Because of your father? In part, only in part. Also because the Jackals had taken us, as in the days of old, rather than during a proper choosing. My uncle Asirk recovered from his grievous wounds, you see. And in time, he managed to unify the neighboring tribes. Well, conquer, if we aren't being coy. But Asirk eventually grew enough in power, and had so many tribal factions under his sway that he finally challenged the Sildoon when they came to the island again. My uncle slaughtered that small company and sent words that the tribes no longer were any sort of vassals to the Empire. That must have gone over well, I said. Huh. Yes, the Empire wasn't accustomed to any region trying to throw off their yoke, hinterland or not. So they intended to invade, to squash this rebellion in full, to make an example of my uncle. And they sent the Jackals at the front of the army, as they had the most familiarity with that part of the world. Even with Sofjian alluding to something like this, it was still chilling to hear. You were sent to kill or capture your own people? Irritation bled in, profusely. You forget, I've been with the Sildoon and Jackals longer at that point than I had with my own tribe. The Jackals were my people now. While I had no desire to see the Orlu destroyed or enslaved, they were distant, remote, and part of another life altogether. They were no longer my people, and they should have recognized that they were inviting their doom, demanding it, truly. This was difficult to reconcile, since I possessed neither family nor homeland dear to me, nor any system or culture that had totally absorbed me. When Sofjian spoke of this before, she said, I stopped, wondering where curiosity ended and dangerous transgression began. Braylar narrowed his eyes. Out with it. She said you could have stopped this, should have done more to protect your people. That is, your tribe, your old people. Braylar watched a shadow fall over the gulch, looked up at a large, galleon-like cloud. Why, of course she did. Yes, a young green sergeant is infinitely instrumental in determining Imperial policy. I should have only said the word, and Commander Darzak would have halted the campaign and turned around immediately. There was an edge to his voice that should have halted me, but I found myself asking, was this Emperor Thumar who ordered the invasion? Yes, excellent point. I should have simply marched up to the Emperor himself and said,
Your Majesty, I know you are intent on bringing the Orlu to heel, but I feel the need to tell you, you are making a grave mistake. To which he would have replied, Oh, why is that, Green Sergeant? And I would have said, Because my oldest sister says as much, and there is no arguing with her. Yes, boundless negligence on my part, a tremendous oversight, an unforgivable failure.